Shavua Tov, and Shabbos, Mitzray Shabbos Chanukah Sameach. Today's daf in Mesechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph. We're holding on the last line of Yud Amud Beit. Tana Rabbana, Ein Ha'abrim Et Hashana, Ela B'mezumenim. You cannot have a Beis Din coming together. Well, that was one of the last sugyas that we discussed, was the idea of starting with 3, going on to 5, moving on to 4. Anyway, it turns out that it's not so pashut. We will only have a very special Beis Din that the Nasi had to define, that these are the ones who are going to be on this particular Beis Din. And he has to actually have the opening, the time before the pressure of the full Beis Din's presence. And we don't start that process unless only the people that were specifically invited are there. And there was once a Maaseh b'Rav Gamliel where he had said, Hashkimu li shiva la'aliyah, get me 7 people up to the aliyah. They were already holding now to make the last steps of determining whether they should have an Ibur Shana. He comes the next morning, and he finds that there are 8 Dayanim there. And he knows that there's only supposed to be 7, and he only told his Mishamish to make sure that there were 7. So he announces, Mi hu sha'ala shavo b'rashut yered. Whoever was up here that doesn't belong here should immediately go down. Shmuel HaKatan stands up, Omar Shmuel HaKatan, and he says, I came without permission, but I didn't come in order to be part of the Beis Din. I knew that I wasn't invited. I only came up in order to be able to see the process that I should be able to know the dinim of Ibur Shana. Omar loves Rabbi Gamliel, said Shmuel HaKatan is from the Gedolei Olam. Shev b'ni shev, achas v'shalom, you should for sure sit. U'yot kol ha'shanim kulam litaber ha'yadecha. You are such a brilliant individual who understands so many of these dinim. We could have made the calendar for the rest of time built on you. The only reason that I made that announcement is because it's halacha. Amru chachamim, in ma'abim et ha'shana, ela b'mizumanim la. And since you weren't specifically spoken about, apparently, you shouldn't be here. But the truth is that it wasn't really Shmuel HaKatan at all. He had just stood up and claimed that it was him because he didn't want anybody to be embarrassed. V'lo Shmuel HaKatan havi, it was another individual. U'machmat kisufa hudiavad. He wanted to save that person the embarrassment, so he claimed that it was him in order to prevent him from actually becoming embarrassed. So, I mean, apparently, he wouldn't have left the Beis Din without the necessary people in the Beis Din, right? So, in other words, it must be that he understood that, of course, in the end, the Rav Gamliel will understand what he's doing, and that it was only in order to prevent the other person from being embarrassed. So fine, it could be that he understood that and he formed the Beis Din the next night again. The question is this the correct kind of way to handle something? Now, we know there were other cases like this. There was a Maisa where Rebbe was giving a drasha and he smells somebody who had eaten garlic. Ve'riach riach shum, which was a very inappropriate thing to do when you're coming into shir. So he was upset, and he said, whoever ate garlic should get up and leave the room. So Rabbi Chia got up and left, and everybody else in the room got up and left. The next morning, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, finds Rabbi Chia, and he said to him, it's you who were Metzayer, my father, with this whole story. He said to Chas v'Shalom, lo te'kazot b'Yisrael. Are you kidding? I only did that in order to save the individual who did it from being embarrassed. And I understand that people that way would never find out who it was, and that in the end, we would get together again. And how does Rabbi Chia know that it's correct to do that kind of thing? I mean, it doesn't reflect nicely on Rabbi, does it? So Rabbi Chia, He learned this maisa from Rabbi Meir's Hanhog, the Tanya. Maaseh b'isha achad, there was once a woman who comes into the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Meir, and she says to him, Rabbi, I have to tell you, I have a problem. I need a get from one of your students because he slept with me last night and he told me that he wants me to be his wife, which, of course, would have been extremely embarrassing to the individual who was accused of such misbehavior. So Rabbi Meir gets up and he writes her a get. So, okay. Now, nobody thought that it was Rabbi Meir, and in fact, everybody in the Beis HaMedrash got up and wrote her a get. So, amdu kulam, v'gnasnula. So, you see that Rabbi Meir felt that it was the right thing to do, to embarrass himself and not to cause embarrassment to the person. And how did Rabbi Meir know that that was the correct way to do it? Rabbi Meir learned the maisa from Shmuel HaKotan. That was the first one that we had started in this series, who had claimed that he came up to the Beis Din without rishus, which wasn't true. And where did Shmuel HaKotan get the idea that this is the right thing to do? I mean, it's a rather dramatic kind of thing when the Rosh Beis Din or the Nasi is telling you he wants the person to leave. He learned that from an even more powerful Malkar. He learned that from the story of Shechaniah ben Yechiel. What happened was that after Ezra gave this terrible speech about the way that people had married shiksas when they came back to build the Beis HaMikdash, he was going on about this. So Shechaniah ben Yechiel gets up, and it says, "Vayan Shechaniah ben Yechiel b'bnei Elam vayom el Ezra." It's true. Anachnu ma'alnu be'Eloheinu. That's what we did. Vanoshev nashim nochriot mi'amei ha'aretz. We've married these non-Jewish women. Aviata, yesh tikvah liYisrael azos. But I mean, we could certainly arrange that we'll all divorce these women, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will forgive us. It's not the end of the world. We could do teshuva. He didn't really do that, but basically, he wanted to make a stance that all of the people that would have to be made and get rid of their wives, that they saw that there was an important person who was willing to make such a maida and rabbi. The Shechaniah ben Yechiel mi'echa gomar lo. So where did he get this? He learned this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's discussion with Yehoshua. Dichtiv ha'yomer Hashem al Yehoshua, kum lach, loma ze'a tanofel al panecha, chata Yisrael. So what happened over here? Every time that there was a milchama in the process of kivush ha'aretz, everything went fine. All of a sudden, they came to the eye, and 36 people were killed in the eye. So Yehoshua was devastated, and he falls to the ground, and he begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please help us and come back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I understand. Don't you understand? You don't realize what happened over here. There was a person, Ochran, who was male and Dechera. And therefore, we have to punish you because you sinned. I'm not a fan of Rebbeinu Shalom. Who was it? What, are you kidding? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you think? I'm a tattletale. V'chi del Torah nochi. I'm going to tell you who it was that did it. You want to find out how to deal with this issue? Go ahead and make goralot, and then you'll deal with it. But chas v'shalom, I'm going to go and tell the person, the rabbim, that this is who sinned. V'bayit Emo, you know what? It could be that Shechaniah ben Yechiel went all the way back to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Moshe. All of a sudden, instead of saying to Moshe that people took from the look for the moon on Shabbos and so on, and he didn't say Dosen Vaviram did it, he screamed at Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyochel, Adoname Antem, how is it possible that you're still going to refuse to be shomer all of my mitzvahs? So in order not to embarrass Dosen Vaviram, so everybody got the taina, but there was no open discussion of who had done it. So therefore, all of these later generations understood that if this is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manning the Eilam, then this is the way they have to act. Tana Rabbanan. Once we're talking about Shmuel HaKotan, we need to know who we're talking about over here. Mi shemetu, Nevi'im HaAchronim, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Nistaka Lach HaKadosh Yisrael. We know that after the last Nevi'im, there was no longer any real Nevi'is. There was no longer the same level of Ruach HaKadosh and of the Simcha that allows from Ruach HaKadosh that was Shira in Yisrael. Afal Pikin, Ayu Mishtamshim Bevat Kol. But even though they didn't hear directly the Kol Hashem, they heard what we call a bat kol. A bat kol means it's as if an echo from the actual Kol Hashem, or some learn bat kol means a bat, that is to say the measurement of a bat, a measured kol that is only there in order to give the information that's necessary.
There's other Rebbe needs to drink.
Do you hear a bat kol? Anybody hear a bat kol in the background? I'm telling you, I must be coming down with a beautiful mind.
We've always thought that, right?
Pahamachat. Anyway, I will tell you a beautiful example of this, that everybody was in the Aliyah's Beis Guria in Yericho, and a basko comes down to them, Min HaShamayim, and it says to them, Nitna Leim Batko Min HaShamayim, Yeshkan Echad, Shira'ui Shetishra Lav Shechinah, even though some take out the Girsa Kemesh Rabbeinu, but the Rambam Dafka has the Girsa of Kemesh Rabbeinu in the Shemayna Prokim, and the Indian of Kemesh Rabbeinu does not mean that it would be Kemesh Rabbeinu in the sense of the ability to actually be a Navi on the level of a Speklaria Meira Lokam Navi Kemesh Aid. However, he was shayach to certain elements of the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what we're referring to. We saw before, Lagabi Ezra gives over the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, and so on. It doesn't mean that it's literally Tishra of Shvina on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. The problem is that Ein Doro Zorkri Elikach. What can you do? He would have been Zeicher, but it's not a door that can allow that level of Gilui Shechina. And the Chachomim understood that the reference must be of this Basko to Hillel HaZaken. And indeed, remember, Hillel HaZaken and Moshe Rabbeinu are compared in many ways. First of all, in that sense of Messias and incredibly bringing Torah to Yisrael. And not only that, but both of them were the Melach, so to speak, or the Nasi of Yisrael for Arba'im Shana. Both of them were known for the tremendous Darga of Anivas, as we'll see later on, that they called him Hari Anav. And both of them actually lived the same number of years. So there was definitely something for people to realize that this, we're talking about the Moshe Rabbeinu of our door. Ukeshemet, when Hillel HaZaken was Nifter Amrulav, Hey Chassid, Hey Anav, Ay, what a loss, what a chassid, what an Anav. Talmidei shel Ezra, because Ezra, remember, was compared earlier the same way that they had both come from Bavel, and when they came from Bavel, they were Mashre, the Torah properly in Yisrael, and so on. And, of course, the relationship to the Tishra Shechina Alav was because of the fact that he is Chassid and Anav, because those are the Dargas. If you recall, in the price of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, what leads to Ruach HaKodesh? Those are the Madregas that lead to Ruach HaKodesh. They said that was the Chosid, the Anav, what a shame that he should have been Zeichet to the Ruach HaKodesh, except for his door. There was another time when they were in Barnea's neighborhood in Yavne, and Hayim Mesubim Ba'aliyah Yavne, V'nitna Aleim Basko Min HaShamayim, and it said, Barnea has to drink. No, it's something like that. Yesh kan echad shera'ui shetishra lav shechina elo she'ein doro zakai l'kach. Who is that? So there, that's why we brought this whole thing up. It's natnu chachamim et einehem b'shmuel ha-katan. So this is called Shmuel ha-katan because the Shmuel ha-gadol is basically the Navi Shmuel. But to show that he's in that same set of Shmuels, we call him the Shmuel HaKatan. And the only reason that he didn't have that darga was because of the fact that he wasn't in the door that could handle it. But Afal Pikin, we're going to see that there was a getter of Nevi'is that he was zeichet to. Uchishamet, they said the same thing. When he died, Amrul Avei Chassid, Hey Anav, Talmidei Shel Hillel. And the truth is that there were moments of Nevius that he said, B'sha'at mitato, he said at the time that he was dying, that Shimon v'Yishmol l'charva, referring to Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmol Kohen Gadol. So he saw some of the Arugei Malchus, the Asar Arugei Malchus, and he mentioned that they would be killed by a cherev, and the other ones were killed with the most terrible types of mises, rishunais, burning, and like with Rabbi Akiva, to be clawed to death, chavroi l'kitola, and the other Asar Arugim will be through other mises, rishunais. Mishar Amalaviza, the rest of Klal Yisrael is going to be despoiled. V'akan Sidin Atidin Lemete Alama, terrible, terrible catastrophes are going to befall the world. V'al Yehuda Ben Bava, there was another Talmud Chacham that they wanted to say the same thing that he was actually one of the Asar Arugei Malchus, of course, but they couldn't say Hey Anav Hey Chassid, because Nitrfa Sha'ah She'im Maspidin Al Arugei Malchus, you're not supposed to say a hesped on Arugei Malchus for a number of different reasons that the Rishonim bring. Sometimes it's because you may actually trigger a response in which they will say, we're not going to allow you to bury him. So the moment that you can bury one of the Arugei Malchus before they get the idea that they should do the kind of thing that they did with Beitar, you have to bury them immediately. And besides that, it endangers the ones who are actually giving the hesped, because the king wanted to kill him, and you're saying he's such a good person, maybe we should kill you too. So because of that, they shouldn't ever give a hesped on Arugei Malchus. So now we're talking about Ibur Hashana. So the first thing that we learned tonight about Ibur Hashana was that it only can be dealt with by people who are specifically invited to that special bezah. Furthermore, Ein Ma'abrim Et Hashana, Elim Kin Yirtze Nasi. In order to do an Ibur Hashana, you have to have not only a Sanhedrin, but you have to have the Nasi together with the Sanhedrin. Now, once happened that Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, was out of town, and he was halach litol rishus etel shilton echad shebesuria. He unfortunately had to be mezalzel in the seas to go and ask permission from some idiotic governor who was in Syria that he had to speak to about for the tzerech of the tzibur. He had a rough time getting back, and he came late. The Ibru et Hashana menachi yirtzin Rabbi Gamliel. So they did what it would be that they would have done if Rabbi Gamliel was there, but in a way that wouldn't be a pogam in the covenant of Rabbi Gamliel. And therefore they made it dependent that we have decided to be Ba'abed Hashana, but only on condition that the Nasi is Ratza, because we need his Ratza. And indeed, Kishabar Rabbi Gamliel, the moment that he said Ratzani, so then it was automatically Nimtzit Shana Mu'barat, and they didn't have to worry about whether they would be able to get together again in order to do this.
Now, it's often called that the Rabbi Gamliel went to the praetor in Syria to ask for Pontius Pilate to be removed because he was so terrible. I don't know the source of it, and I'm not saying it's associated here, but they say over such a maisa. I'll try and find the source. I heard it many times.
Okay, except we have to know if there's a good source for it. It's not in Gemara. Okay, so now the question is, we said that we have all of these various factors that we need to take into consideration, and because of that, it's not such a simple thing. We need to first determine whether we need to make a din, and then we need to work on the din, and then we need to get the acquiescence of the Nasi and of the broader Besdin of Shiva in order to be able to be Ma'abed Hashana. What are some of these factors other than this simple question about whether does the year astronomically require an extra month or not? And remember that we've always got this problem because a solar year is longer than the lunar year in such a way that creates the pattern that we've made as the standard pattern, but then they didn't have a standard pattern in such a way that we need to add, from time to time, we need to add a month. Sometimes we're going to be a little bit ahead, and sometimes we're going to be a little bit behind. So how do we determine when the proper time is for the Tzibur to have to actually, because there's going to be a lot of difficult issues are going to come up if we suddenly throw in an extra month, as we'll see. What are the type of things that we take into consideration? So Tana Rabba, first, let's talk about some of the adjunct issues. Ein ma'abrim et ha'shana, ela im kein hayta tzricha mipnei ha'derachim u'mipnei ha'gesharim. So one thing is that we're very concerned about Klal Yisrael being able to come up to the Beis HaMikdash and to be able to bring a Korban Pesach. In order to do that after a long winter, and we're just getting out of the winter period, we need to make certain that the roads can handle the traffic, the bridges can handle the traffic from people that are coming up from all over in order to become part of the HaKrovas HaPesach in Yerushalayim. If it turns out that the roads can't handle the traffic and we're not going to be able to be Eila to Yerushalayim, that itself would be a reason for us to add an additional month so that there'll be a month to get the repairs after the end of the winter to be able to make these repairs. Now that's one element, and we're not saying that it's enough, but we'll see. That's one element. Another element is, Mipnei Tanurei Pesachim. It's very possible that all of the ovens which were built of the earthenware under the surface, these could have gotten ruined by the snows, and that would mean that it would be very difficult to go and to do the Aveda of the Pesach, where over there you have to go and make it pitzli in these ovens. And they're going to need to build all kinds of new ovens. It takes time to dry or to dry out those ovens. So that also would require an extra month. Or, Mipnei Galuyot Yisrael Shenekru Mimekoman V'adayin Lo Higia. If we found out that people have already left to make it to Yerushalayim, and they had a tough time, and they weren't able to make it on time, and that means we're going to bring the Korban Pesach and nobody's going to be there, and because of that, it's a disaster, because the next year, they may not even try to get there. So you're kidding, what we did, what we went through in order to get there, in the end they brought the Korban Pesach without us. So there too, it's a very important consideration to make certain that they're able to bring the Korban Pesach. But, Avalo Mipnei HaShelek, Avalo Mipnei HaTzina, the fact that there's snow, or the fact that it's very cold, that's not going to stop people from coming to Yerushalayim. And not, Lo Mipnei Galuyot Yisrael Shelo Akru Mimekoma. If we found that people had not as yet left and they're not going to have enough time, that is not going to have such a bad impact. On the contrary, I'd let them see, they didn't leave on time. They didn't leave on time, they're going to miss out on their Korban Pesach. Tana Rabbana, Ein Ma'abrim Et Hashana. You cannot do an Ibur Shana just because you don't have enough Gidayim. So the goats are not yet fully delivered, and not because the sheep, because basically you've got very young animals. And remember, in order for it to be kosher for Korban Pesach, it has to be Betor Shana. And that would mean that you need enough to be able to handle the whole family. I mean, it was normally the Mishpachotam. So in the event that there were only small animals, they wouldn't have been able to make just one chabura in a family. So because of that, you would think that you can actually make the year, give them another month to grow, and that way when we buy the behemoths for the Korban Pesach, it will be appropriately large for the family and their guests. You can't do it for that. You can't do it either mipnei ha'gozalot shelo pirchu. How about if you have these doves and they're not yet old enough to fly? So we have two types of korbanos, either torim or v'nei yona. Now what happens is that everybody, the entire period from the last aliyah l'regel, that had a requirement to bring a korban for Yoledes or a korban for Zava, they would wait until they come up to the Beis HaMikdash, and that way they would be able to have all of the korbanos brought at that time, and now they're going to get all the way up to Yerushalayim. So if you didn't have enough Torim, so then you would say, listen, maybe we should wait another month, and that way we'll have a lot of Torim, because you can't use them if they're too young to fly. We don't put things off for the simple reason that the B'nai Yonah are kosher dafka when they're younger. So if we don't have enough gozolot, so they'll go out and they'll find B'nai Yonah. Aval osim otan sa'ad l'shana. The things that we mentioned over here are definitely factors that need to be taken into consideration. They just are not the fundamental factors. So we're going to see when we finish the sugya, we're just beginning now, but when we finish the sugya, we're going to see that they're considered to be the primary factors, and then there's secondary factors, which are considered to be a sa'ad. So these kind of things are considered to be a sa'ad. So they're an additional factor. Ketza. So, for instance, we'll give you an example of how it is that they would make an announcement based on mentioning the sa'ad. So Rabbi Yana Yomer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Mahotain anachnu lechon. So here is our proclamation to all of you. De gozalaya rakichin. Vimaraya de arkin. Look, the birds are very young. The lambs are very thin. Vizimna da aviva lo mata. And not only that, but the aviv has not come, and therefore the grain isn't ripe. Vishafarat milta banpai, and therefore I consider it proper, in my opinion, viosifit al shata dla dat latin yumi. And so I am adding an additional 30 days to this year in order to make certain that all of these things are handled. Now we'll see later on that the question of the aviv not being is actually one of the primary reasons, but we don't even use a primary reason on its own, but a primary reason together with a sa'ad that we can say. Wait a minute. You said you're adding 30 days? The Braita says, Kama Ibur Shana, when we add an extra month to the year, how long is that month? Shloshim Yom. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Chodesh. Now, we just had a Braita that had Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel saying, I want to add 30 days. That's quite clear in the context of a machlokas in which the Tanna Kamma says 30 days and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says a chaydesh, that he means not 30 days, 29 days, a standard month that isn't mu'udar. How do you explain that contradiction? Omer of Papa, he didn't mean to say that you can only add a chodesh. He was arguing on the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma said you have to add 30 days. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was saying you don't have to add 30 days. You can add 30 days and you can add 29 days if you want. And that's why in this particular case, he said, Shafar is Kedemai, we consider it appropriate this year to add 30 days. And by the way, you take a look at the way Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel speaks. Tochozi, my ika ben tikifoi kadmoi, linvatani batroi. Look at the difference between the way these people speak at the time of the earlier generations, like Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, we know the maisa, very painful maisa, in which Rabbi Gamliel made no compromises, made Rabbi Yeshua stand up like a little child coming. He didn't give any kind of quarter to anyone. And nonetheless, the truth is that when he speaks in ways that are balanced, as we'll see. Because the Tanya, Maaseh b'Rabbi Gamliel, Shayoshev Agabi Ma'ala Baharabai, Vaya Yochanan Sofer Alas, Omeid Lefanav. See, it once happened that Rabbi Gamliel, he was standing on one of the stairs in Harabayat, and there was always a secretary The famous secretary was, you know, that secretary, Yochanan Sofer Halas, that famous secretary. And he actually was always ready to take a letter, you know? So he was standing there with a number of different parchments in his hands. Mishalash Igrot Chatuchot Afanag Menachot. So Rabbi Gamliel said to him, and this is the same Rabbi Gamliel that was the one that terrorized everyone, and he said to him, okay, take a letter. Here's first letter. So, Tol Igar Techadochtov. Lechana b'nei Galila Yilah, Ulachana b'nei Galila Tata. To all of our brothers in the Galil Elyon and in the Galil HaTachton. So, Shlomchon Yazge, may you have much shalom, which is the way we say shalom rav. Mahodein anachnu lechon, we want to let you know with this letter, Dizman biyura mata, it is time for you to be mevayer the maisres, and you better make sure that you get everything done. La frishe ma'asara mima'atana dezeta. You guys up there in the Galil, as Gavi can tell us, you've got a lot of olives over there, and they're sitting waiting for processing. You can't keep them there any longer. You're going to have to go ahead and take off maisres and get rid of all your maiser, because you have to be finished by the time of the Vidui Maiser. Now, he says to his secretary, take another letter. Toligar Techada, Uktov, Leachana b'nei Daroma, to you people who live in the south of Eretz Yisrael, Shlomchon Yizge, Mohodein Anachto Lechon, we're writing this to let you know, Dizman Biura Mata, it's almost time for Biur Maisres, and you guys have a lot of tfua that you grow. It's time for you to take off your maiser, mi omle shivlaya, take your grain, take off the maiser, and see to it that it's out of here before the zman of the biur. Then he asks his secretary to take another letter. This is the one that's important to us. Vitoli karta chada, and write the following. V'achana b'nei galvata b'bavel, v'achana b'madai. To our brothers who are there in the galut in Bavel, and there in the galut in Madai, and l'shar kol galvata d'Yisrael, wherever you guys are scattered, shlom cham yazge li'olam. Note that when it comes to speaking to the Jews in the Gola, he doesn't just say shlom cham yazge. It's shlom, he needs some extra brachas there. Shlom chom yazge le'alam. Mahode'in anachle lechon. We do inform you with this notice. The gozlaya rakikim. The birds are young. The imraya arakim. The sheep are still not grown. Uzmana da viva lomata. And the Aviv has not arrived. The Aviv is one of the primary reasons. Put it together with one of the secondary reasons, and you've got a sod. Now look at the way he speaks. The Shafra Milta Be'anpai, not like, he's the tough one, not like his son, who's not the tough one. The Shafra Milta Be'anpai U'Be'anpai Chavrai, he doesn't talk about what he thinks his opinion is. He says, it appears right to me, and in the eyes of my friends, aha. And this is the toughie. V'osifi tarshata dayum et latin, and we have decided that we should add 30 days to this year. So that means Rabbi Gamliel, who was one of the very tough people, when he wanted to say that it was his opinion, he didn't take it as his own personal opinion. He said, it's my opinion, together with those that are with me. Basha Enkein, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, was Reb Gamliel's son, who was considered to be a much easier person, and he didn't use the same kind of very powerful hanhaga of the Nesias that his father did. But when he gave that first notice, he didn't say anything about his friends. He said, it appears in my eyes that this is what's correct to do. Well, that's the difference in the Midas between the earlier generations and the later generations. Yeah, but that doesn't prove anything. Maybe this only happened after Rabbi Gamliel got thrown out of the Nesivos. That taught him a lesson. So he was going to be pretty careful the way that he talked. So because of that, he spoke differently. Okay, that's how some learn. Tosfos learns. There's a simpler explanation. After he was brought back in, then there were two Nesivim, remember? There was Shabbat Shomis, there was Belozer ben Azariah. So he had to say my opinion and the opinion of the others that are with me. So what does that prove? But his son didn't have that problem to handle. So this doesn't prove what a wonderful way that the Midas were. Tanur Rabban. Now let's talk about the essential elements, not just the Sa'adim that we spoke of. There's actually three fundamental things that need to be taken into consideration that are essential. And actually, the Rishonim wonder how we could possibly not use one of these, because they're merumas and psukim. How do we say that we need more than one? Okay, this is, I guess, is not our sugya, but definitely valuable to recall when we get to the dinim of Yibushana. So these are the three things. Al ha'aviv, if what happens is that Pesach doesn't fall during Achodesh ha'aviv, so what that means is that the Tvua in Eretz Yisrael is not yet reaching the stage of Aviv, which is that it's actually ripe. And that would mean that you would have to make the year longer, because that way you're able to have the Chodesh Aviv, which is the Tkufas HaShana of the Pesach. So that's one thing. And then we have the Perot HaIlan. What happens if it's Shavuos time? The Perot HaIlan are not yet ripe, and that's the period after Shavuos. That's the period when you can now bring, from the Shivas HaMinim, you bring Bikurim. And that is actually the Yom HaBikurim. So now, if everybody that comes up to the Beis HaMikdash is unable to bring their Bikurim, and that's when they need to bring their Bikurim, because otherwise they're going to have to come up to Yerushalayim again, just in order to be bringing the Bikurim. So like this, they're able to, so to speak, kill two birds with one stone. Not a nice way to refer to a mitzvah, obviously. But basically, they would always plan to come up to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and to be able to bring the Bikurim. So if the Perot HaIlan are not going to be ripe, so then that's another good reason to have the Yom HaBikurim come out a month later, when there will be lots of Peres. And furthermore, Al Hatkufa. So since we know that you have to make sure that the Tkufa, which is that period that we split the year into, so we have basically the Tkufa of Nisan, that's the beginning of what we call in English the vernal equinox, or if we're talking about Tishrei, that's the autumnal equinox. And then we have Tammuz, which is the solstice, the summer solstice. And then we have Teves, which is the winter solstice. So now, if the season is going to come out at the wrong time, then we need to fix things up in such a way that it should come out at the right period. So the Torah wants the various Meyadim to be in the period of the Tkufa that it's supposed to be falling into. So therefore, if it turns out that the spring Tkufa is only going to begin after the middle point of Nisan, or the other thing that could go wrong is that Sukkot is actually going to be in the summer and the autumn is only going to begin after Sukkot. So because of that, we have to have an extra month in order that it should be Neufel Bizmane. Now, these three things, on any two of these, we would be ma'abed shana, al shnayim mehem ma'abrin, but al echad mehem alone, ein ma'abrin. But we can use a sa'at. U'bizman sha'aviv echad mehem akotz mechin. Now, if the one issue of needing to have the grain being ripe, and that's why it, one of the reasons at least, was put it off, then at that point, everybody is happy, because you're not going to end up losing anything. Is the best thing for them. It's perfectly great Because anyway, you wouldn't have been able to use any of your new tefuah until after you bring the omer. But if you're going to bring the omer earlier, and the grain that is here is not going to be mutter because of that omer, then it's going to be a whole year until they're able to bring the next omer to be mutter it. That would be a disaster. So if you put off Pesach by a month, if the grain was ready, that would get people upset, because then they were unable to eat their new grain. But if the new grain wasn't ready, and that was the reason that you put it off, of course, that would make people happy. Whoa, okay, great. This way, all of the grain that's ready to be eaten will become mutter because of the later year. And it will be ready at the time that we bring our Hakrovas HaOmer. So that would be why everybody would be happy. So if that would be the case, now here's the question, what exactly Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is coming to say. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer al hatkufa. It's not quite clear what al hatkufa means. Al hatkufa might just have been saying, well, why just because of the freshness of the grain? Why wouldn't they also be happy because of the tkufa? Or he might be referring to that al hatkufa alone, you would be able to. What was he saying, Yibaylo? Did he mean to say that al hatkufa, they would also be happy? And he was just adding to that last point that we said that if one of them is the reason that we're making it later is because of the Aviv, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is coming along and he's saying the thing that makes people happy is that if Lamaisa, you made things artificially different, meaning you didn't base things on the astronomical issues. So then let's imagine what would happen if you put it off because of the Aviv. So now what happens? The year was going to be a proper year in terms of the astronomical times, right? That means that Tishrei was going to fall exactly at the time that it was supposed to, and Sukkot would have been at the correct time. It would have been at the beginning of the autumn. Now, if you're telling me that for other reasons, I put an extra year, what happens then? Then Sukkot comes out a month later, which means that it's pouring by the time it's Sukkot time. And that means that it's going to be very difficult to be traveling at that time with muddy roads and so on. And everybody would be thinking, oh my God, what a crazy time to make a leap year. If the year was perfectly okay anyway, just because of this little problem of the grain. So because of that, it was a problem. But on the other hand, if the tkufa was the reason, so in other words, Tishrei was going to start very early, and they put it off so that now Tishrei came out in the time when it's supposed to be, so then that would mean that Sukkot was coming out exactly when it's supposed to be, when it's nice and cool, it hasn't started raining yet, and that would make people happy. So maybe that's what he's saying, that alat kufas mefim. I don't agree that they're happy just because of the local thing. They're happy because they consider the entire structure of the year. Maybe that's what he was saying. Or maybe what he is saying is, I disagree with you, and I say al hatkufa, we will, in fact, be ma'aber without needing anything else. We don't need a sa'ad, and we don't need a two out of the three reasons, because that's the main point. The Torah says that it's supposed to be Tafke the Chedesh Aviv, and the Sukkot is supposed to be B'tkufas Hashona, and because of that, what I mean is, that's a very good reason in and of its own, is what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is saying. Not going along with your two out of three take. It's not quite clear what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's shita was. Tana Rabbana, al shlosha aratzot me'abrim et hashana. Before, we just kept it sort of vague, because we said, so if the tefuah is late, if the fruit is late, and if the tkufa begins in a long time, but Where is the Tvuah late? Where is the fruit late? What area of Eretz Yisrael is this going to be considered late? So the truth is, Al Shlosha Aratzot Ba'Brimat Hashana. We take into consideration when we talk about late, and we said two out of three of those things, we also meant two out of three of the different areas of Eretz Yisrael. We have Yehuda, we have Eivor HaYarden, and we have the Galil. So Al Shtayim Mehen Ma'abrim. So let's say the fruit is late, or the Tvuah is late, in two out of those three locations, that's considered to be a reason to be Abram of the Shana. But Al Achat Mehem, in Ma'abrim, if it's only affecting one out of the three areas of Eretz Yisrael, that's not a good enough reason to be Ma'abrim of the Shana. And the truth is, when Yehuda is one out of the two, that makes everyone happy, because everybody is invested in bringing the Korban Omer properly. And the time of bringing the Omer is from Yehuda. That's where we try to bring it. If what happened was that in Yehuda the time was okay and it was properly ripening anyway, that because of the Galil and the Eivor HaYarden, so the barley was late and we put it off for a month, what's going to happen is that then we won't be able to use the Omer from Yehuda, because by the time a month comes around, the Omer from Yehuda is not going to be fresh. It's already going to be partially dried. We'd have to bring Omer from somewhere else, which is not L'chatchila. So because of that, not to mention the fact that if you live in Yehuda, for sure you're unhappy, because then you have your new grain. You're not even allowed to eat your grain yet, because you have to wait now an extra month. So because of that, if Yehuda was one of the reasons why we needed to put off the year, so then everyone in Yehuda is happy. And everyone elsewhere is happy that we're able to bring the Korban Omer the way that it's meant to be brought, the Chatchila. Tana Rabbana, in Ma'abrim et Hashanim Ela B'Yehuda. The truth is that the Beis Din has to be a Beis Din. Normally, we know that there are places where, unfortunately, it was necessary to make an Ibur HaShana even in Chutz La'aretz, but the normal way in which we do in a typical year when we're able to function normally is that the Beis Din has to be in Shevet Yehuda. It's machlokas whether that means in Yehuda, meaning literally in terms of Yerushalayim, or means anywhere in Shevet Yehuda. So, imi brua begalil, you bear it. Heyit chananya ish ono, imi brua begalil, enami uber. Even if you did it b'diavad in the Galil, it would not be a kosher ibur hashanah. Why? What's the mocker for such a thing to say even b'diavad it's not kosher? Om rev yudah breda rabbi shimon ben pazi, my time of the chananya ish ono? Om akro l'shich no tidrishu uvata shama. So you have to come to be Derish. Derish means to find out the halacha and how it is you're supposed to act. And it's saying you have to come to the mokum of the Shvina. And that means kol drisha, shata doresh. If you are investigating, you are searching, you are trying to find out what the entire tzibur has to do, lo yu elo b'shifno shel makom. It's not a question of court procedures. It's a question of actually expressing the idea of drisha. And that's why we say that the tzion doresh einla, it's the drisha that's missing that makes all the difference. Tana Rabbanan, another din of Yibur Hashana is ein ma'abrim et Hashana ela biyom. And if they were ma'abra balayla, it's not a kosher Yibur Hashana. Furthermore, in mekachim et HaChodesh ela biyom, im kitshua balayla, Eino Mikudash. How do we know that? That it has to be, Kiddush HaChodesh has to be during the daytime. Omer Rabbi Abba, Maikro, Tik'u V'Chodesh Shofar, Ba'Kesel Yom Chagein. Where do we have a time of special celebration that has a moon that is Ba'Kesel, that is covered? So that must be referring to a Zeu Chag, Shachodesh mitkasebo, Havi Omer, Zerosh Hashanah. We only have one holiday the entire year that comes out at the beginning of the month. All of our other holidays come out in the middle of the month. How did, what does that have to do with the question of Rosh Chodesh? Ah, and can you read it? It then says, Ki chok li Yisraelu mishpat v'lohe Yaakov. So then that means that we're putting together the din of chok and mishpat. And it's saying that they should be the same. It's making an actual hekesh. So therefore, what we have to say is ma mishpat bayom af kiddushach chodesh bayom. So the same way that this chukim that we're talking about, that it's one of the chukim of the Torah, that we have to be mekadesh the chodesh, it has the same din as the mishpat. And mishpat, remember, we learned out earlier, we're going to see later on again, that it's b'ya b'yom yilchilot banav, that's dafka b'yom is mishpat. Okay, Rabbosai, more exciting news tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you at 1:45 is what we've made up. See you in the morning. Amitz b'sirot ovot, Bezrat Hashem. Wishing you all very much that you should see iftach v'lo yefchot. Kol tov.